We'll turn your Bible tonight to Luke chapter 18, looking at verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went out into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes toward heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and everyone who exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. God, this is such a simple story. God, it is so profound. God, it turns the world upside down. It turns all of us upside down in our way of thinking. God, I pray that though I know that many here, if not all here, know this parable and could probably quote it without even reading it, I pray that we could hear it tonight with fresh ears, we could read it with fresh eyes, and we could really just accept it for just the power that it contains and what it is revealing to us about ourselves and about you. God, we thank you for this privilege. God, we pray your blessing upon it now. I pray for your Holy Spirit, God. God, just to fill each one of us here this evening, God, and speak to each one of us through your word. We pray and ask all these things now in Christ's name. Amen. I listened to James Ganzevoort's sermon on this passage this past week, and James is kind of like an audible commentary for me as I drive to work or exercise or work around the yard and do other monotonous task. James has been a tremendous help to me. As he said, we met through the jail ministry, and I've learned a tremendous amount from him. So it's a great honor to be able to stand here at this pulpit and here in his church, and I really appreciate him asking me to come. You know, I think James is right that we hear this parable here in 2021 in East Tennessee. We hear this parable basically the opposite of how the original audience heard it. We immediately identify the Pharisee as the villain, with whom, of course, no one in this room identifies. No one reads this and says, oh, there I am. I'm this Pharisee. That's the way I talk. No one ever identifies themselves with this Pharisee, comparing himself with others. For instance, none of us humble pastors would dream of wondering, who will preach the best tonight? You know, I'm thankful that I've been assigned grace alone. It is the solo that I struggle with most, that I deny most. Not with my words, not with what I say, but rather with my life and how I view others and how I view myself. And I needed this reminder tonight. I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to prepare for tonight as I need this reminder. I am far more prideful and more like this Pharisee than I realize. I like what Brother Bill was sharing, that but where does boasting, that's a perfect way of describing, where does it need to go? It needs to go in the trash can. What I find is I throw it in the trash can and I turn around and I look and it's there with me again. We don't give up. We throw it in the trash can again. And if it comes out, we throw it in there again. We mortify the flesh. We go to war with it every day, but it's amazing how pride creeps in. It's amazing how pride creeps in here tonight. Five pastors. Could this not become a preaching contest? Who has the best message, the best delivery? Who's got the best church? As we were going around, how many people do you expect to come, Jordan? Well, that number's got to be a little bit higher than the last guy. I mean, that's our mentality. I hate it. I hate it. But it's amazing how it's constantly showing back up again. I'm far more like this Pharisee than I realize. You know, Jesus' hearers, this was a scandalous thing to say. His original hearers They held a Pharisee in high esteem. When he said Pharisee, what they heard was a devout man of God. That was the Pharisee. A doctrinal purist, a separatist, who faithfully obeyed God's command in Isaiah 52:11, to come ye out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. The Pharisees did not sell out on God the way so many other Jewish men had done. The worst example being the corrupt tax collector, who were notorious for extorting their own people. Tax collectors who made a career of violating God's command and completely aligning themselves with the Gentile Roman authorities, and they did it all for money. They were total sellouts. And then Jesus tells this story. This parable was scandalous to Jesus' original hearers. I would say that this parable was on par with that of the Good Samaritan, the justified publican. You know, this Pharisee in the story that Jesus tells, a simple story, this Pharisee believed in salvation by grace. Does he not thank God in verse 9? He believed in salvation by grace. But the tax collector, the publican, believed in, trusted in, hoped in, and cried out in desperation for salvation by grace alone. There is an enormous difference. Most of the people that you and I know believe in salvation by grace. And by that, they're counting on the mercy of God to bridge the gap between their works, being a good person, living a good life, and God's standard. They're trusting in grace. They're trusting in mercy and the goodness of God. Most people we know believe in salvation by grace. But salvation is by grace alone. Apart from works of the law, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you know, as we read this story, read this parable, you know, the tax collector is not the hero of this story. He, recognizing his guilt, cries out for mercy, to which the answer is obviously no. Absolutely not. That is the obvious answer. This man has stolen his whole life. He has made a career of stealing, violating the command of the holy God. The answer is no. You know, if you want to imagine this in modern terms, imagine if Bernie Madoff, at the end of his trial for fraud, for stealing $17.5 billion, at the end of the trial, upon hearing the verdict of guilty, were to cry out and say, "Forgive me, Judge. Please be merciful to me." What would his reply be? "Have you lost your mind?" Absolutely not. "Do you think I'm unjust?" No, rather, you're not going to receive forgiveness and mercy and pardon. You will receive 150 years in the federal penitentiary, and rightly so. The answer to this request is an obvious no. But God says yes. What does it say? I tell you, verse 14, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. God said yes. God's reply to this desperate cry is yes. Because of grace alone. How can this be? How can a holy God justify the ungodly? As Romans chapter 4 verse 5 says, this has to be reconciled. There has to be more to this story than what we've read. And thank God that there is more to this story. This has to be reconciled. And it is. You know, this comes to mind as I think about this request being made that's just outlandish. It's absurd. How could you possibly ask for God to forgive you as a sinner? The just and holy God? How could you even make such a request? Another request comes to my mind. And this is not a parable. Matthew 26, verse 39, Jesus Christ prays to his Father, and he makes this request. He says, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." What is the answer to that request? It's an obvious yes. Of course, let this cup pass from me. Of course. Jesus is not worthy of death. Even Pilate, even blind, secular, lost Pilate can see this man has done nothing worthy of death. Of course, a holy God, of course his Father can see he's done nothing worthy of drinking of this cup, nothing worthy of death. But basically what happens here is that Jesus gives his answer. As he prays to the Father, he says, "Let this cup pass from me." The answer to that request is yes. You do not deserve what you're getting ready to go through. But he takes that yes, and Jesus, as a gift to the sinner, crying out for mercy, he gives that yes to them. "Father, forgive me, a sinner." Yes. And he takes that sinner's no upon himself. He takes his answer, no. "Let this cup pass from me." No. He goes to the cross. He drinks the cup for tax collectors. Not fictional. He drinks the cup for Matthew, the tax collector. For Zacchaeus, whose sins he forgave. He takes the cup for sinners like me and you. John 10:18, Christ makes it clear that he says, "I lay down my life, no man takes it from me." He freely gives it as a gift. You see, he is the hero of this story. It is not the publican. It is not the tax collector. Christ is the hero of this story in every story. You see, we are not saved by works. We all affirm that. We're also not saved by humility. Humility can't save us. Being sorry for our sin cannot save us. We are saved by the grace of God alone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this grace. God, we believe it. We affirm it. That's why we're here tonight. God, I pray that you would help us to live it. That's the hard part. God, I pray that you would drive pride out of my heart. That, God, you would have the power to put it in the garbage can, as Bill shared earlier. God, I pray that this would be humbling to us. God, I thank you for this opportunity to think upon grace alone, to focus my mind throughout this past week, these past several weeks, upon grace alone. I needed it. And I pray that tonight every person in attendance here will focus their mind upon grace alone. And how all of these, all of the solas, how they all tie together. You cannot have one without the other. That we can see how this fits together perfectly. And it's all to your praise and glory and honor. God, we thank you for this time. I pray that we could take it with us as we leave here this evening. We pray and ask all these things now. In Christ's name, amen.